Photoshopping teenagers to show them playing a sport they've never tried, bribing college entrance exam proctors to alter scores, sending wire transfers to NCAA coaches. Well, it's all part of the allegations from an FBI investigation called Operation Varsity Blues.
These parents are a catalog of wealth and privilege. They include, for example, CEOs of private and public companies, successful securities and real estate investors, two well-known actresses, a famous fashion designer, and the co-chairman of a global law firm. Based on the charges, all of them knowingly conspired to help their children either cheat on the SAT or ACT and or buy their children's admission to elite schools through fraud.
Federal prosecutors charge more than 30 wealthy parents with spending millions of dollars on bribery and fraud. And at the heart of the investigation is a private college prep company known as The Key. On Tuesday, U.S. Attorney Andrew Lelling described one way that Brian Singer, founder of The Key, was able to get students into schools by using athletics.
The coaches worked with Singer, meaning they accepted bribes. Singer gave the coaches sufficiently impressive fake athletic credentials. The coaches used those athletic profiles to convince everyone else internally that this was a good recruit for the team. The person was admitted, and the coach pocketed a bribe. Some simply never showed up for the athletics. Some pretended an injury, and I think some played briefly and then quit.
Now, this all sounds pretty outrageous, but wealthy parents spending big bucks to get their kids into top schools isn't anything new, and sadly, it's usually perfectly legal. But there are kids who can't afford to keep up, and those are the ones that are often left behind. Natasha Wariku is an associate professor of education at Harvard University and the author of The Diversity Bargain. Natasha, great to have you back on the show.
Great to be back.
So let's take a step back here. I mean, this case has gotten a ton of attention because of the big names in Hollywood and really these details of photoshopping your kids' faces on photo. I mean, this is just so much to take in. But let's talk a little bit about the other ways that wealthy parents help their kids get into top schools. We've heard a lot about parents buying a building or buying a wing. How do they do this?
You know, I think it's important to keep in mind that any parent will do whatever they can to support their children's success, right? And some parents have more means than others to do so. So, you know, the thing about a building, you know, there are ways in which the development office can go to the admissions office and say, the development office being the office that raises money for a university, will go to the admissions office and say, you know, this person's family is, you know, buying a building or doing this. And can you take a close look, a very close look at this application? And, you know, I think Jared Kushner's admission to Harvard is sort of the classic example of that. But this happens every year for all of these elite places. You know, and I think there are other, you know, more subtle ways that this happens as well. So legacy admissions, you know, universities talk about how they give, a second and a third look, an additional read to applicants whose parents went to that university because they say that fosters loyalty to the university. And what they're really talking about is, again, donations to the university. So it's a way of ensuring that the financial well-being of the university.
Well, Natasha, but I absolutely want to dig into the issue here of legacy students and also talk a little bit about affirmative action, because really what this comes down to, and we know broadly in the United States, this is about wealth. It's not just about money. It's about wealth. And
yes.
If your parent, you know, I take your point that any parent would do whatever they need to do to support the success of their children getting into the best schools that they can. Here, however, we're talking about fairness.
Yes.
If I am a parent who can afford to buy a building or a wing or whatever it is that I can afford to buy, or, you know, have a grandparent who went to the school, that really changes the dynamic here. And the majority of those kids, I'm going to take a wild guess, and not even a guess, but based on data, that those children are white and privileged. So how does that
Yes.
play into this?
Absolutely. I mean, I think what's fair is a whole other question. I would absolutely agree with you. That is patently unfair, right? It's unfair that families who have resources can use money to help their children get into these elite places, especially when we have this idea that, you know, these are meritocratic processes and that everybody has a fair shake at getting into these places. And the reality is that that's not true. But I also think that we need to think about how we define fairness and what's fair, because I don't think there is a consensus in the United States on what is fair and unfair. You know, I think this case of, like, doctoring photoshopping and all of that, I think everybody would agree it's unfair. I think even those parents would say, yeah, this was wrong. This is unfair, but I did it. All these other practices, it's a lot more murky. So, you know, there's probably more.
It's murky because these are systems that have been put in place and they revolve around money. We've seen a lot of pushback, and I've reported on this, and there have been other folks that have reported on the pushback, for example, against affirmative action, the idea that someone who is underprivileged or from a less represented background, a person of color, a woman, for example, might potentially, you know, have an advantage because of their disadvantage, quote unquote, if you will. That pushback doesn't seem to be happening against legacy students, against this other type of really sort of gaming the system for wealthy elite kids.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think it's very interesting that there's so much public discussion about, you know, is affirmative action fair when, you know, this is a policy that has, you know, historically was designed to promote equity, right? And we know that legacy admissions is something that promotes inequality, right? And so, but it's become, you know, affirmative action has become such a hot button issue, and I think it's incredibly problematic. And so I think we really need to think about what is the goal of admissions? What are we trying to do here? If we're trying to increase equality of opportunity in the United States and ensure that everyone has a fair chance, then that leads to, you know, different ways of thinking about admissions and fairness than I think what most of the elite colleges are doing right now.
When we talk about legacy admissions, Natasha, we interviewed Glenn Singleton, who is a former admissions officer at the University of Pennsylvania. And he talked about, you know, how this issue can really impact student admissions.
When I look at the legacy factor, sometimes I can't explain that. But what I do know is that when the institution is generous to the sons and daughters of its alumni, then those alumni tend to be more generous to the institution.
Your response to that, Natasha, when we talk about fairness?
Well, first, the evidence for that is unclear. I think Richard Kahlenberg has done some studies of alumni donation, and it suggests that it's not clear that the university is actually getting money through these considerations. And I would say that even if the universities do, that that's pretty patently unfair to children whose parents are not privileged. And so if we hold up these universities as sort of our bastions of meritocracy and fairness and opportunity, then I think it's incredibly problematic to privilege kids who are already incredibly privileged by having parents who are very familiar with that university in particular and elite education in general and have a bachelor's degree. You know, we forget that most adults in the United States don't have a bachelor's degree and so can't guide their kids in the same ways. And so I think it's patently unfair, and it's unfair and it promotes inequality. And I think these universities have to really take a hard look at that policy and why they continue to defend that policy.
Natasha Warico is an associate professor of education at Harvard University and author of The Diversity Bargain. Natasha, thanks again for joining us.
Thanks for having me. It's been a pleasure.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper, with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.